The Gospel for this Sunday from Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray. O Lord, we are hungry for your word. Give us what we need, each one of us, so that we may live beautiful, wonderful, faithful lives. In the name of Christ, amen. I really do love Thanksgiving. You like Thanksgiving? It's not just that it's the best meal of the year or that our families get together or there's football on, thank heaven, but it's wonderful to take a day to give thanks, isn't it? Used to be stores were closed on Sunday, and Sunday was kind of a quiet day for giving thanks, and now it's been swallowed up, hasn't it, in the week. So thank God for Thanksgiving. 10 lepers were healed. The first thing to notice about the gospel lesson is that Jesus did not throw up his hands and shout, "I knew it, I knew those ingrates wouldn't give thanks for what I did for them." Right? That's not what he did. He didn't do that. That's what I would have done, and probably what you would have done too, right? Don't you hate it when you hold the door for somebody and they don't say thanks? Or when you throw a dinner party and don't get one single card thanking you for what you did? When you go out of your way and do a kindness for someone and they don't even seem to notice? Those ungrateful sons of guns. It's enough to turn you into a world-class misanthrope. Right? That's a powerful word, misanthrope. Very sad word, too. A misanthrope, a person who mistrusts, dislikes, disdains other people. Have you ever known a misanthrope? Anybody? You ever known a misanthrope? In a college where I worked as campus minister, there was a professor who was very big into peace. He had a reputation. He thought war, and I agree with this, he thought war was humankind's ultimate stupidity. And he argued and he marched and he wrote. He put himself in the line time and time again. And the funny thing was, he couldn't stand people. Couldn't get along with his colleagues, couldn't get along with his students. Nobody liked him. Nobody liked him. Didn't like anybody, and everybody returned the favor. A whole lot of people respected him, but nobody cared about it. He was a misanthrope. He didn't love other people. Now, the Lord Jesus wasn't like that, correct? He was a philanthrope. He was philanthropic. He loved other people. He was a true lover of human beings. And so Jesus did not expect the worst of the lepers. He doesn't even seem particularly angry that only 1 out of 10 returns to praise God for his or her healing. We don't know if it's a man or a woman. But incredulous, perhaps, maybe a little bit disappointed. But he wasn't angry. I think what the Lord shows us is that God is not cynical about human beings. God is a realist, certainly. God understands that God knows what we are made of, the scriptures say. God knows that we're eminently fallible. He knows that we let ourselves and other people down all the time. He understands that we're as frail as the grass, and the wind blows over it, and its place knows it no more. Yet the God that we find in Jesus of Nazareth always seems to hope for the best in people. And this is really, really, really important. So if you're falling asleep, wake up. This is really an important thing. God is not cynical about the human race. God has faith in us. God has faith in you. Could anything be more important than that? Could anything be more important than God having faith in you? Let's talk about teachers for a moment. Let's talk about teachers. Let's talk about good teachers and bad teachers. Anybody ever have a bad teacher in school? Yeah. I bet you remember their names. Don't say it. It's bad enough for thinking about it. Yeah, we had some bad teachers. And I bet you had some good teachers too, didn't you? Do you remember your good teachers' names? Just hear a name. Anybody? Yeah?
Mom.
Mom. Harold Beck. Good friend of mine, Harold Beck. Good teachers. My best teacher was Mr. William Kurth. Herr Kurth, we called him because he taught us European history and German. Wonderful teacher. Broke my heart midway through my senior year when he died suddenly of a heart attack. Toughest teacher I ever had. Man, was he hard on me. And you know what the difference was between Mr. Kurth and the teacher who threw me into a locker once? I hadn't done anything wrong, by the way. And even if I did, he shouldn't have thrown me into a locker. The difference between Mr. Kurth and the lousier teachers I had was he saw me as a worthwhile person, as a person of value, as a decent student whom he believed could be a terrific student. And you know what? In his class, I was a terrific student, part of the time. God believes in us. God gives us his best and wants and expects and hopes for the best from us. St. Augustine wrote, "Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future." Every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. God sees us as saints waiting to happen. Now my opinion, and this is only my opinion, is that Jesus is astonished that only one leper comes to return thanks. Of course all 10 would give thanks. God has blessed them with the greatest dream come true that is possible. No more living as outcasts, as beggars, or as sinners. And you've heard about lepers before, talked about this before, right? Every pastor in this church has talked about the lepers, right? You're outcast because you're not allowed to live with your family. You're not allowed to hold a job, so you're a beggar. You're not allowed to physically come into contact with anybody, so you're separated from your families. And you're considered a sinner, because why else would you be plagued with this terrible illness? They are restored to their families, to their homes, to their livelihoods, to the community. Of course, they're going to come back and thank God for the wonderful thing that is done, that has been done. Except they didn't. I suspect that Jesus was astonished. Weren't there 10 lepers? Does only one, the one who is a foreigner, give thanks to God? Yes, I think Jesus was astonished and maybe a little hurt. But I noticed too that whatever disappointment he may have felt, he didn't give up on the 9. For surely the one who can heal 10 lepers could also just as easily afflict them once again. I suppose a miracle could work backwards if you wanted it to. Ungrateful wretches, I'll teach them to be thankful. Only he didn't. Jesus doesn't punish the 9. Who forget to say thanks. But you know, that's not to say that there is not a penalty for their lack of gratitude. Their punishment was what? What's the punishment of the 9, if there was one? They're not grateful. That in and of itself is the punishment, isn't it? Nothing more, nothing less. Their punishment is not being grateful. And here's a mini revelation I had a while back. And that is, it's the most obvious thing in the world. It probably wouldn't be a revelation to you. You'd already know it. Thankful people are happy. Thankless people are not. It's sort of shattering, isn't it? Thankful people are happy, and thankless people are not. That seems to me completely, undeniably, stupendously obvious, but I had never thought about it very much. Thankful people are happy people. Thankless people are not. And more than this even. More than this. This is really the astonishing part. Thankfulness does not depend upon external circumstances. It depends upon your heart. A friend of mine lived out his last days in a nursing home. Amidst a sea of gray, unhappy faces, he was a ray of sunshine. Bring him his lunch, and he'd smile at the aide as though she'd done the most miraculous thing in the world. When his physical therapist demanded he do 10 more reps on the weight machine, he was already exhausted. He was in pretty poor shape. He'd smile and say, "Well, you know best." When you came to visit him in his room, he would make you feel as though you were the greatest person in the world for remembering to come see him. He was a grateful man. He was not deliriously happy to be in a nursing home. I don't know of anybody who wants to be in a nursing home, but he was grateful for his life and grateful at the end of his life to be receiving really good care. And don't you know, it took him years and years of discipline, of discipled life, to be that kind of person. Of course, there's another man I knew who was also passed, who inherited his father's company and lived in great luxury. A couple of homes, new luxury car every year. Wouldn't you like to have a new Mercedes every year? Beautiful clothes, big expensive trips. He wore beautifully tailored suits and threw lavish dinner parties in his home for very important people. This man did not pledge to his church, but at the end of the year, if he wasn't too ticked off at the minister, he'd throw in a big check. If he was mad at you, he wouldn't throw the check in. He was one of the most miserable people I have ever known. And he made everybody else miserable too. You should have seen people scatter when he came into a room. Anything to avoid him, because he was gonna let you have it. The world was his. He had everything. And yet he was not grateful for the life he had been given. The moral? To misquote scripture, a thankful heart is worth more than gold, more than much fine gold. Surely I have seen that wealth cannot warm a cold heart, and adversity will not harm a loving one. 10 lepers came to Jesus, and I believe that one was truly healed. For 10 loved the gift, and one loved the giver. Dear friends, God has given us everything. Let us be thankful and give God the glory, for this is happiness. This is life. And let us pray. O Lord, when I have food, help me to remember the hungry. When I have work, help me to remember the jobless. When I have a home, help me to remember those who have no home at all. When I am without pain, help me to remember those who suffer. And remembering, help me to destroy my complacency, bestir my compassion, my thankfulness, and be concerned enough to help by word and by deed those who cry out for what we take for granted. Amen.